Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe, Sammy P with you on this Thursday. Let's get to some college football. Some good matchups to talk about, some impactful matchups, even though potentially a handful of blowouts. There's always a betting angle to all of these. Joe, Sammy P, let's bring in our buddy Matt Fortuna. He is a college football analyst, founder of the Inside Zone. Find his work, InsideZoneMF.com over on X. Matt_Fortuna. Matt, how you feeling, man?
Good. Any gambling news today? I just dropped my kids off at school. I've been out of it.
I just saw Damon Jones was arrested too, Joe. He's an assistant coach in the NBA. So that's Chauncey Billups, Damon Jones, Terry Rozier. I don't think this is going to stop at three names. That's what I think, Tuna. I don't think we stop at three.
Yeah, I don't either. I just, I hope they're not overselling, under-delivering like they did with, the FBI dig when they thought they were going to fix college basketball and they sent a couple, pretty innocent people to jail. Hopefully this is, actually worth the headlines we're giving it right now. Otherwise, it might be a waste of everybody's time and just, the FBI trying to get a couple of cheap headlines. But I'm jaded. I've seen this before with college basketball, not in the gambling space. But it's definitely juicy, especially when a sitting NBA head coach who happens to be a Hall of Famer ends up with potential ties to the mafia.
Yeah, well, when the director of the FBI is involved, I think it's serious. So, the press conference is going to be starting up in a little bit. We'll make sure to pass it along, a lot of the information that comes out of there. Matt, I'm going to start with a team that probably a lot of people are not talking about this coming week, but maybe they should be talking more about. We started having the Notre Dame conversation about how good they really were last week. And now people are starting to see it. After that USC loss, rather win in the elements over the weekend. In the gambling space, Sam's one of them with his power rankings. We started talking to more and more people that even though they have two losses, they are rated as a top five team in the country. When you look at the Irish, how good is Notre Dame?
I think it's a really good football team. I think it's a football team that's hitting its stride. I think, you need to root for Miami if you're Notre Dame. That loss Friday does not help because Miami now does not control its own destiny in the ACC race. But I don't think there's any shame, right, in losing to Miami and Texas A&M by a total of 4 points. I think those are two teams that will be right there in the playoff picture at the end, as will Notre Dame. I mean, the schedule certainly helped, but you got to remember they're breaking in a first-time starter quarterback who's a redshirt freshman that Miami game, and they had a new defense coordinator in Chris Ash those first two games as well. And I'm not saying this is the steel curtain overnight, but you've seen this group adapt to Chris Ash, get much better throughout the course of the season. They had a few hiccups early against USC, but they're able to really control that game in the second half. And I think, in a year where it feels like it's Ohio State everybody, and even then I think Ohio State is beatable. I put Notre Dame right up there. I've seen them as high as three in some people's power ratings. I don't know if I go that high right now, But I do think you put them on the field against anyone, they're going to have a good chance to win.
It makes people irate, though, to say that. And I have no affinity for Notre Dame. I don't particularly like Notre Dame, but the numbers really, they speak to you. When you come out of a power rating and you've got Ohio State 1, Bama 2, Oregon 3, Notre Dame 4. And I sent it to my buddy who's been making numbers for 20 years in Vegas, and I said, my numbers aren't right. I don't have, like, any reason why Notre Dame should be 4. And he goes, yeah, you're right. Your numbers are wrong. I have them 2. And I'm like, oh, my God. Now, like, that's not a team that maybe deserves the accolades of being one of the top 3 teams perceptionally. But if I was making a list of 3 teams Ohio State wouldn't want to play, I think Notre Dame would be in that top 3. I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I do worry a little bit about these guys in situational football. Again, they played 2 close games, and they lost both close games. Even the USC game, they kind of rolled out the red carpet for USC to go out there and steal it on Saturday night. And Lincoln Riley, like, one of the worst play calls I've ever seen in my life, that ultimately undid the Trojans with that one. But, you know, Notre Dame has a quarterback right now in C.J. Carr, who, while not Brady Quinn yet, is probably the best quarterback they've had since Brady Quinn, which is 20 years ago now. You know, they're able to outscore people and get into track meets if need be. And look, they've got the best running back tandem in the country as well. Jadarian Price and Jeremiah Love combined for nearly 500 yards, all purpose yards against USC on Saturday night. You know, the schedule is very, very soft after this bye week, right? I mean, they get probably an undefeated Navy team at home at night, which could be a challenge just with the new defense coordinator at Notre Dame. And they go to Pittsburgh in the penultimate week of the season. Pittsburgh seems to have found a second gear since they made the quarterback switch to Mason Heinschel. But again, these are all games Notre Dame will probably be double-digit favorites in. And as long as they don't trip over themselves, they'll be 10-2. And I imagine they'll be right there in the playoff mix. They need some cards to align for them, you know, externally. But I just have a hard time seeing a team on a 10-game winning streak that played for a national championship a year ago being left out at the end of the day.
Matt, before we dive into this week's card and these matchups going down, let's zoom out a little bit. When you consider the number of teams that you think could win the championship, how long is that list, man? How many teams do you think?
Yeah, in a wide open year like this one, I think you could almost go double digits, right? And again, I'm not saying these teams will, but I mean, how many from the SEC could, right? Between Alabama, Georgia, I don't think Vanderbilt can win at all, but Vanderbilt, I think, is a real playoff contender with what they've shown so far. I think you've got 3 teams in the Big Ten that can stake their claim to being legitimate national title contenders. Notre Dame's right there. I think Miami's right there as well. So maybe a little less than double digits, but 6, 7, 8. I think there's a healthy group right now. And again, I think Ohio State's the best team in the country. I don't think they're unbeatable. This is a team that still has not proven that it can run the football when it needs to. And when you get to those playoff games, the semifinal games, the national championship, it's all about situational football. We saw Penn State screw up in that regard in the semifinals last year. We saw Texas mess up in that regard at the goal line against Ohio State in the semifinals last year. So I think all these teams are flawed to some degree, and that's what makes this championship race so exciting.
Who wins more playoff games, A&M, Indiana?
Indiana. Well, I'm sure Indiana will be in. I'm not sure A&M will be in with the schedule. I think they'll be in, but yeah, I think A&M's just flawed enough defensively, too, where they can get got early on. And Indiana, I mean, I don't know what more you can say about them after that Oregon game. I understand some people had some questions going into that, but I mean, they were the better team in all 3 phases in that Oregon game, right? If not for a pick 6, they win that game on the road in a hostile environment by at least 17 points. So, you know, there's very few things I can say negative about Indiana right now. We'll ultimately see probably them against Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. That should be pretty epic. But, you know, I think Indiana's good for at least 1 or 2 playoff wins at the very least.
Vanderbilt hosts Missouri. Is Vanderbilt a playoff team?
I think they have a chance. And it's pretty crazy, right? We're here on, what is it, October 23rd, and we're talking about Indiana and Vanderbilt, you know, making championship runs. I mean, it goes to show you how upside down this college football season has been. But as long as Vanderbilt takes care of business this week, you know, I think they've got games at Tennessee and they've got games at Texas. that Texas one does not look as intimidating as we all thought it would be at the beginning of the season. This is a Vanderbilt team that I think had a real chance to beat Alabama on the road. Diego Pavia, their best player, had two uncharacteristic red zone turnovers that ultimately ruined any chance they had of springing the upset. If they win this weekend as a home favorite, which I think they will, and if they win one of those two on the road, we're talking about probably a 10-2 SEC team, and that's going to get you in. We saw number 9-3 SEC teams last year that were on the brink of the playoffs. So 10-2 Vanderbilt will be a playoff team. Can they get there? They got to stay healthy. They're still not good enough to the point where they can just roll the balls out and beat whoever they're lining up against. But this is a very disciplined football team with a magician back there, a quarterback, who I think can win them some games on his own. And I think they're going to be right there in the mix at the end of the season.
I was laughing last night. I sent a text out to one of my buddies who works at the Westgate. And I said, what do you need this weekend? What does the house need? And he laughed. He put LOL. We need North Carolina. They need them every week now, man. Because nobody wants to bet on Carolina, and everybody wants to bet against. Virginia's a very hot team right now. Very sexy. Joe and I, yesterday we played a game called 3-2-1 where we have to list a team to do something. And Paul says, who's winning the ACC? And Joe and I both said Virginia. Now that that's happened, and now that we have sexified Virginia, is there any chance you could stomach a UNC plus 10.5 bet this weekend?
I won't put it down myself, but I could see it. I mean, I made the mistake of taking Cal last week, and Carolina should have won that game. They fumbled going into the end zone for the go-ahead touchdown in the fourth quarter. I mean, that was a very sloppy performance by Cal. For all the bad we could say about Bill Belichick's team this year, they didn't quit, right? I mean, we're talking about a Friday night game three time zones away in the Bay Area, and they were right there in position to win it at the end. So I do think they'll get one or two ACC wins here. Does it happen this week? I don't know. I think Virginia's been playing with fire a little bit. They should have lost at home last week against Washington State. They are very lucky in the sense that their only loss is to NC State in a game that didn't count toward the conference standings. They scheduled it at a conference. So Virginia technically controlled its own destiny in the ACC race right now. 10.5 is a lot to be given on the road, in my opinion. But my question is, can the Fighting Bill Belichicks get up 2 weeks in a row and come close to springing an upset like they did last week? I don't know. I just think at some point you lose enough games, close or otherwise, that has a worrying effect. And again, that's a team I want nothing to do with from a betting standpoint. I thought it was a lock last week that they'd lose by double digits on the road, and it didn't happen. So shame on me, but I'm going to stay away from Carolina from now on.
With Matt Fortuna, InsideZoneMF.com. Make sure you check that out. Let's go Oklahoma, Ole Miss. 5.5. Mateer's third game back. We haven't seen an impressive performance as he's slowly healing with that, coming back from that injury. What do you think about this Oklahoma-Ole Miss matchup? This is just the start here for the Sooners. It is a rough go the rest of the way.
Yeah, and I think Oklahoma proved a lot to me last week with the bounce-back win on the road at South Carolina as convincingly as they did. Defense travels, as they say, and that defense has looked really, really good. I don't want to say throw out the Texas game, but regardless of who's playing, regardless of who's coaching, regardless of what the year is, that game never makes sense, right? Like, it's so not indicative of how each team season ultimately ends up. You get bragging rights, but as far as being in the SEC race, I mean, I still think Oklahoma's got, you know, a much better chance of making a run here than Texas does. I like Oklahoma in a close one. I don't know if I would take the points. I mean, I just think, you know, Ole Miss is dynamic offensively. Trinidad Chambliss looked really good for three quarters at Georgia. And ultimately, Georgia kind of figured him out defensively and was able to keep the ball away from him in the fourth quarter. I think it's a big ask of Lane Kiffin and his bunch to go on the road after a devastating loss like that last week and upset Oklahoma. I actually parlayed Oklahoma money line with Navy minus 14. I know that line has since gone up, but I love Navy at home against FAU. I like Oklahoma to win this one. But that line, I mean, you said 5.5. I saw it at 4.5 yesterday, so it's moving a lot. I don't know if I want to take Oklahoma with that spread, but I do think ultimately they proved victorious this weekend.
I don't think Dampier is going to play for Utah. That's my opinion. I have no intel there. That is just my guess. I don't think he's right. They brought him back last week. They taped the ankle. They shot him up like a mule. I don't think he's going to play. If that's the case, we can get behind Colorado plus 13.5, no?
Oh, I don't know. This Colorado team, I mean, they're a different team at home than they are on the road. Obviously, we saw them with the big upset of Iowa State a couple weeks ago. But There's not a whole lot I like about this Colorado team. Talk about a team that's bad at situational football. The clock management's been funky all season long. They turn the ball over too much. Utah, regardless of who's playing quarterback, is one of the toughest places to play in the country. It's one of the best home field advantages, Rice-Eccles Stadium. I know Texas Tech had their way with them last month, but no Dampier, I would stay away. But if Dampier's playing, I think you got to take Utah at 13 or 13.5.
Matt Littler, every week this year, there's a new hot name. There's a new favorite for the Heisman. It's a different quarterback.
Yeah.
So where do we go with this? Are we missing something? Are we missing a non-quarterback that could have a big run at the very end? Are we missing the quarterback that's played all right, but they're set up to impress in big spots in the end? What are you thinking when it comes to Heisman?
You know, the guy with the shortest odds out of non-quarterbacks is Jeremiah Love, who's coming off a huge performance against USC last week. Usually I'd say Notre Dame guy has no chance because they're not playing on conference championship weekend, which is ultimately the final dress rehearsal. But if you look at the last 3 years, I mean, Travis Hunter won it last year. He didn't play in a conference title game. 23, Jaden Daniels won it kind of by default after Bo Nix laid an egg against Washington in the conference championship game. And 22, Caleb Williams won it, and he got hurt in what ended up being a blowout in the Pac-12 championship game against Utah. So I do think recent history is on Jeremiah Love's side in that regard. I just don't know if Notre Dame's going to hand him the ball off enough to ultimately put up the kind of numbers that you need to ultimately win this thing as a non-quarterback. I mean, you look at Ashton Gentry last year, 2,600 yards, ended up being the runner-up. Jeremiah Love's not going to finish with that many yards. And this is a team that wants to make a playoff run and that did not have a healthy Jeremiah Love during the playoff run last year. So I don't think Notre Dame ultimately will put him in position where he has a realistic chance of winning the Heisman, but he is that good. He's got a great personal story, and he's a highlight reel waiting to happen on every single play. So I think he could get to New York. As far as quarterbacks, I mean, I don't think Julian Sain's going to win it. As good as he's been, I just think Ohio State's going to ultimately split the votes between him, Jeremiah Smith, and potentially Carnell Tate. And then, look, is Fernando Mendoza going to win it if he loses the Big Ten title game to Ohio State? Probably not, unless it's an epic shootout where ultimately his defense collapses. So I think the safest bet is in the SEC right now. Probably Ty Simpson, maybe Marcel Reed if he keeps it up. But you got a number of quarterbacks there in the SEC who I think are ultimately going to be fighting for that top spot.
Matt Fortuna, Matt_Fortuna on X, InsideZoneMF.com. We appreciate your time. Enjoy all the football this weekend. Joe O, Sammy P, this is Bet Sweats.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
We'll get some college football plays later on this hour, 11 a.m. Eastern hour. Paul Charchian, he'll break down the Vikings side of things with Thursday Night Football. Also help you out with fantasy and some of your lineup conundrums. Chuck Esposito will tell us what the book is looking for, NFL and college, coming up this weekend. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich, you've got Bet Sweats. All right, the biggest story of the day is a no-doubter. It's about the NBA and has nothing to do with what happened on the court last night. It's about what's going on off the court, and the FBI is involved. If you missed the news, Terry Rozier, Heat guard, was arrested Chauncey Billups. Also, he was coaching a game last night. Now he's under fire. Let's get to some details. There is a press conference that is going on right now. I'm going to throw it to U.S. Attorney Joseph Nocella. Take a listen here on Bet Sweats.
To be clear, we're announcing today indictments in two major cases, both involving fraud. One involves sports betting, and the other involves illegal gambling, very specifically rigged poker games. The first indictment involves six defendants who are alleged to have participated in one of the most brazen sports corruption schemes since online sports betting became widely legalized in the United States. This scheme is an insider sports betting conspiracy that exploited confidential information about National Basketball Association athletes and teams. The second indictment involves 31 defendants alleged to have participated in a nationwide scheme to rig illegal poker games. These defendants, which include former professional athletes, used high-tech cheating technology to steal millions of dollars from victims in underground poker games that were secretly fixed. The games in the New York area were backed by the Bonanno, Gambino, and Genovese crime families of La Cosa Nostra. While the cases are separate, there are three overlapping defendants charged in both cases: Damon Jones, Eric Ernest, and Shane Hennin. The indictments in these cases contain only allegations, and the defendants are presumed innocent until they are proven guilty in a court of law. But my message to the defendants who've been rounded up today is this: your winning streak has ended. Your luck has run out. Violating the law is a losing proposition, and you can bet on that. First, I would like to talk about United States versus Ernest, the NBA basketball gambling case. The defendants in this case are Eric Ernest, Marvez Farley, Shane Hennin, De Niro Laster, Damon Jones, a former NBA player and coach, and Terry Rozier, a current NBA player. Other co-conspirators were previously charged for their roles in the scheme, including former NBA player Jontay Porter. Between December 2022 and March 2024, these defendants perpetrated a scheme to defraud by betting on inside, non-public information about NBA athletes and teams. The non-public information included when specific players would be sitting out future games or when they would pull themselves out early for purported injuries or illnesses. They relied on corrupt individuals, including Jones and Rozier. They also misused information obtained through longstanding friendships that they had with NBA players and coaches. And in at least one instance, they got their information by threatening a current player, Porter, because of his pre-existing gambling debts. Defendants used this non-public information to place hundreds of thousands of dollars in fraudulent bets, mostly in the form of prop bets on individual player performance. The bets were placed through online sports books and also in person at casinos. The defendants relied on a network of straw bettors to place the maximum amount of bets to increase their potential profits. Most of these bets succeeded, and the intended losses were in the millions of dollars. The defendants then laundered their illegal winnings in various ways: peer-to-peer platforms, bank wires, and simple cash exchanges. The indictment details specific examples where the defendants profited from illegal gambling and illegal betting on various NBA games, about the performance of players on, among other things, the Charlotte Hornets, the Portland Trail Blazers, the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Toronto Rangers. Each defendant in the NBA basketball gambling case has been charged with conspiracy to commit wire fraud and conspiracy to commit money laundering. Now, I would like to turn to the other case United States versus Aiello, the rigged poker game case. Beginning as early as 2019, the defendants in this case orchestrated a scheme to use wireless cheating technology to run rigged poker games across the United States, including in the Hamptons, Las Vegas, Miami, and Manhattan. The scheme targeted victims known as, quote, fish, who were often lured to participate in these rigged games by the chance to play alongside former professional athletes who were known as, quote, face cards. The so-called face cards included the defendant Chauncey Billups, who at the time of the scheme was a former NBA player and is currently the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, and also Damon Jones, a former NBA player and coach. What the victims, the fish, didn't know is that everybody else at the poker game, from the dealer to the players, including the face cards, were in on the scam. Once the game was underway, the defendants fleeced the victims out of tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars per game. The defendants used a variety of very sophisticated cheating technologies, some of which were provided by other defendants in exchange for a share of the profits from the scheme. For example, they used off-the-shelf shuffling machines that had been secretly altered in order to read the cards in the deck, predict which player at the table had the best poker hand, and relay that information to an off-site operator. The off-site operator sent the information via cell phone back to a co-conspirator at the table, and that person at the table was known as the quarterback. The quarterback then signaled secretly the information he had received from others to others at the table, and together they used that information in order to win their games and to cheat the victims.
All right, that was the voice of U.S. Attorney Joseph Nocella. Joseph ain't playing around. Obviously reading a very long statement there, giving some details, and we'll pass anything more that comes along that we think is worth it. But he was talking about two different cases basically at the same time, going back and forth a little bit, so we don't want to confuse those. But first you've got a sports betting case, and this is the one that Terry Rozier is involved in. Also, Damon Jones and Jontay Porter. He mentioned numerous times there and how he was involved too. And he was a guy that was threatened. They used confidential information of talking to players in the league, find out when they're playing, not playing, when they're going to be sitting out. Will they fake an injury and pull out of games in that? And what amazes me, Sam, on that case was how they were able to get down. Because when we talk about legalized sports betting in this country, the majority of sports books will not let you bet a ton on props. These books promote them, props, this is the next wave. And most of the people that we know, they get locked out or there's only a limited amount of money. And according to the attorney there, Nocella, the U.S. attorney, he said they got millions down in bets, and how creative they were able to be using so many bettors that they were able to get millions down on props. That was amazing to me. Not only have the information, but to use the information, get other people involved in your scheme, and then find a way to get millions down. So you've got the insider information with that sports betting scheme. And then you also have whatever's going on with Chauncey Billups. And he was getting into that a little bit. The rigged illegal poker games, that you've got a table with some fish, and then everybody else is in on it, including the dealer. 31 defendants, he said. 31 defendants in that case. And Damon Jones was also mentioned in that situation. Charlotte Portland, LA Lakers. He said Toronto Rangers. He met Toronto Raptors there. But wow, fascinating what is going on. So if they're sharing that, just imagine the real story and everybody that's really involved. We have 6-7 people that were arrested this morning, but there's a lot more involved. When it all comes out in the wash, there's going to be a lot more people in trouble here. As he mentioned, 31 defendants in that specific case involving the illegal rigged poker games. So this is only the beginning, folks. Only the beginning. What's to come moving forward? Not quite sure. I think the almighty dollar, the dollars that they're getting from these legal sports books is going to continue. But does prop betting go away? Maybe. And people have been pointing out this morning that all the focus at the time was on the college athletes because, well, they're the guys not making much money. Well, that situation has changed. Oh, we can't have college prop bets. Oh, you can't in Illinois, you can't bet on Illinois games because of the college kids. Almost every story that comes out is about the professionals. NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL, it's about the pros. It's not a lot about the college kids. Just saying. The colleges are doing a better job of watching this, and the pros are the ones getting busted. The pros are the ones that have all these schemes mapped out. Just saying. Certainly worth it there. Man. We do have, if you go back a little bit, Adam Silver, NBA commissioner, made an appearance on the Pat McAfee show. And this idea of what I'm talking about was brought up. And Silver went into detail a little bit with it. Do we dial back the prop betting? Is that going to go away? Because, you know, with size and totals, it's hard. You have so many more people involved. And I saw a lot of videos going around this morning about Rozier. And look, it looks like he's intentionally missing here, intentionally missing there, playing an awful ball. Maybe that's the case. But let's take a listen to Adam Silver recently on the Pat McAfee show talking about dialing back the number of options you have when it comes to prop bets.
Here from me, I wish there was federal legislation rather than state by state. I think you got to monitor the amount of promotion, the amount of advertising around it. And also, we've pulled back. You know, it's not completely in our control, but we've asked some of our partners to pull back some of the prop bets, especially when they're on two-way players, guys who don't have the same stake in the competition, where, you know, it's too easy to manipulate something which seems otherwise small and inconsequential to the overall score. Maybe, you know, the couple rebounds that some player, you know, gets or whatever. So, you know, we're trying to put in place and learning as we go and working with the betting companies some additional controls to prevent sort of some of that manipulation.
I think that's really good defense.
That's Pat McAfee with Adam Silver, the commissioner this week, of course, promoting the start of the new season. He makes an appearance, was making a number of appearances out there, and he was on the Pat McAfee show talking about the prop betting. Maybe. I think that's where we end up going. I think it's funny that a lot of these sports books have been promoting prop betting and same game parlays, and this is the way to go. Why? Because they make money on it. Because people want to do those same game parlays, get those lottery tickets together, and let's promote all the winners. Let's not talk about all the losers. They do it. They all do it. All of them are guilty. And then, well, what if prop betting goes away? Now what? Maybe it does. Maybe that's what's needed. I don't think me and Sam really care all that much. We don't bet a lot of prop bets. There are some people that live in that industry. That's all they talk about. We're more sides and totals people. So, I mean, we'll continue to follow this. We'll pass along any other information. If there's more audio that we think is worth it, we'll make sure to bring that to you here on Bet Sweats. All right, coming up next, let's talk a little college football, some of the games going down this weekend. Also, we haven't gotten to the quarterback injury news that we have across the league. A lot of lines were starting to adjust yesterday. We'll tell you which one's on the other side. Joe O, Sammy P, you've got Bet Sweats.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I think we've got Sam here. Sam, you there? You good?
Hello.
Good to go? All right, good. We got you. was your favorite part of the press conference when U.S. Attorney Joseph Nocella says, "Your winning streak is over"?
You could bet on that.
You can bet on it, yeah. Like, dude, stop. Who wrote? Exactly.
FBI needs a speechwriter. Whoa. Like,
I mean, yeah. Right? Wait, is there a posting for that?
I might be looking.
Okay. Yeah, that was fun. There was some comedy in there. He did lighten things up, but he was also making sure, I got to set the right tone. Hey, NBA players, stop doing this. Okay. Because he knows the sports books aren't going away. As we are in nearly every state throughout the country. That was very humorous, very funny. And Joe O, Sammy P, you've got Bet Sweats. BetMGM Network, but what's not funny is what's going on, and the people that lost money, the people that were on the wrong side of those illegal rigged poker games, I'm sure they're not laughing right now, but man, it's the tip of the iceberg, as they would say. All right, Sam, let's, you're in New York, because recording Bear Bets yesterday, so you've been doing a lot of college football content. Why don't we dive into that arena? I gotta say, like, we were talking about Matt Fortuna, some of the games that are kind of interesting. I don't think it's the best card this week, but what has your attention?
The under in Northwestern and Nebraska is probably one of my favorite totals of the year. Not that I'm a tout, but if I was a tout, maybe I'd do my three-star Big Ten total of the year, Joe. Maybe I would for 1999. I don't think these offenses are any good. And I think these defenses are much better than people realize. You're going to see a bunch of drives, I think, stall inside the 20. And I think we're going to have a very, very ugly Big Ten rock fight. I'm checking the weather right now in Lincoln. It doesn't look like it's going to be anything crazy. But it's really just, to me, two defenses that are very stingy. Northwestern's D has been very, very solid over the last, let's call it a month or so. They've tightened the screws. And I don't think we get a bunch of touchdowns. So that's my favorite bet. You're right, though. You don't really have a true, like, sense of marquee-ness on this card. Like, what's the best game on the card? I guess LSU.
I think Ole Miss, Oklahoma. Like, I find that interesting.
Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe. I was going to say A&M LSU just for name value. But there's not, like, Auburn, Arkansas does nothing for me. And that's supposed to be one of the better games. TCU, West Virginia, no. I mean, just like you scroll down and like stop me when you see something great. Like, is there a game you know for a fact you're going to lock in and watch on Saturday?
No.
There me either.
Well, see, and I think this is part of it. You have three of the heavy hitters out. Ohio State, Georgia, Notre Dame not playing this weekend. And so, yeah, you did. They don't have a top matchup. it does feel like we're stretching. Like Vandy, Missouri. Well, you're kind of lucky Vanderbilt's this good. They weren't expected to be this good this year. What do you think about this Indiana number? We're sitting 25.5. This is not supposed to, it wasn't supposed to be a game at all. And I'm not saying it's going to be a game. But a few weeks ago, the point spread was probably set to be a lot higher. You have UCLA. They've won three games in a row. And now all of a sudden that Penn State went, wait, is that impressive? I don't know. It was at the time, but a few weeks later, now it doesn't look as impressive as Penn State has rattled off four straight losses. But, you know, this is the definition of what we talk about a lot with the NFL. Fired coach bump, backup quarterback bump. Is that what's happening with UCLA? All the numbers would suggest that they still don't have a defense. That has not changed. And some of these teams that they did beat, they don't have offenses like the Indiana Hoosiers.
The number is so big, they want you to take UCLA, I think. Not that they're setting a trap for you, but you take a football team that's won three in a row. Honestly, Paul, I think we got jobbed in that game on Saturday. Maryland was in control for most of that game. It was so bad, and I had 10 toes down. Maryland's going to win outright. They got the lead, and then there was a brutal flag on our dog, on the Terps. I said they were going to win. I ended up taking 3 and 3.5. It lands 3. I pushed most of it, which sucked. There's nothing worse than watching a 3.5-hour, 4-hour football game and your biggest position ends up in a tie. It's the worst. Mm. But we should have clipped UCLA then and didn't. That's such a big number. But that said, most people, I think, are going to bet Indiana here, Joe. So I'm so befuddled by what to do with this number at 25, 26.
Yeah. It's like, how much do we completely recalibrate everything with UCLA? Are we there now? I don't know that we are. If I had to bet the game, I would take Indiana, but I think you're right. Most people are going to end up taking Indiana in this spot. Does anybody want to line up? And we know it's going to be in the room. You know that going in. Anybody going to line up with Nate Collins and take Virginia minus 10.5?
Yes.
I want to. Like, what's the reason not to? Like, strictly, it's going to be popular, right? We've seen TCU, UCF, Clemson just destroy North Carolina. I thought Nate made an interesting point. Like, it's time for style points, guys. You want to be in the playoff? Let's get these style points, and here's an opportunity.
I like, for the purposes of this bet, I like that UVA had their trap game, almost lost to a very bad Wazoo team. Like, wake-up call. You know, got reamed out after the win, called out after the win. So yeah, for the purposes like that, plus the style point, you add that in. Look, it opened at 9. Wish I'd gotten it then, obviously. But it's never Carolina here. And I think, Sam, you were asking Fortuna if he'd ever bet Carolina plus 10.5. I would never do that. It would only be a consideration for UV. I don't want to, you know, be spending my own money on a program that's been an absolute disaster just because I guess they should have beaten a Cal team that's overachieved.
The issue with Carolina, too, is after you get that performance, which was a pretty solid showing considering how brutal their roster is, teams like that don't usually string consecutive games together that they play well in. So that's sort of where I'm at with the game. I think the point about Virginia kind of having a little bit of a dud, Carolina playing well, the perception is, oh, well, that's a big number. But the truth is the wise guys laid 9, 9.5, and 10 to get it to 10.5. So that's some serious money to get it through the 10.
Yep. You've got Michigan. They're favored by more than 2 touchdowns. That's your Big Ten game on Saturday night on NBC. So it kind of, to your point, Sam, about the card, not the best here. Underwood, first time in that rivalry. He's going on the road in this spot. I do wonder if the 14.5 is a bit much. But do you guys have anything else that we have not mentioned yet that you want to throw out there to the people?
Here's a room play for sure. I have circled it. I have lassoed it. If this isn't in the room, I don't know the room. Alabama, minus 12 on the road. You know it, and I know it. The question is, can we get there on the Gamecocks catching points at home?
No. Whew.
Rough showing last week.
No.
That's the whole point.
No, I know, but like South Carolina, man, they like give me with that team. I can't. I ring the bell.
A lot of cans here.
Ring the bell. Yeah, I'm not in a rush to lay with Bama by any means, but no, give me the case for South Carolina other than the room and me saying I can't.
Please hold.
Yeah, hold please.
Yeah,
they haven't been great.
I think it's just Bama though. They've just been through such a gauntlet, and I mean they've won.
I was thinking last week was Sam. I was thinking the exact same thing, but I was thinking last week was the spot. It was not against Tennessee.
Oh, I took Tennessee. I mean, to be fair, you felt good. Tennessee's on the goal line, and they throw a 99-yard pick six right at the end of the first half, and you go, okay, this bet's dead. But Tennessee still fought in the game. That was the game. The pick six changed the entire game. So Bama has four wins over currently ranked top 25 teams, the most in the country. Bama's got four. Georgia, Indiana, Miami, Ohio State have two. And then there's a bunch of teams that have one. Oregon does not have a single win over a current top 25 team. Think about that, by the way. But this stretch that they've played, Georgia, Vandy, Mizzou, Tennessee, pow, all in a row.
Yeah.
The letdown's got to come eventually, Joe. It's got to.
I know. I'm with you. But it's just the challenge is finding the spot. And so maybe this is it. I understand where you're coming from on that totally. Because I've been expecting it. It's like, come on. When is this team going to let up? Or just maybe they're by far the best team in the SEC. What we thought was all jumbled, maybe they're going to be the best one in the end. We shall see. You guys are saying that there's still the play as far as that conference goes. And I understand exactly where you're coming from. I was like, maybe I'll take a little bit of value here with Georgia. This is Bet Sweats. You know, we wanted to address some line moves, and we got some quarterback information yesterday in the National Football League. Kansas City goes from 10 to 12 and a half with the news that it's going to be Mariota and not Jaden Daniels. And then some other ones were smaller, but Sam, I know a side that you like is San Francisco. San Francisco has been bet this week. This number was plus 2.5, and now they're down to plus 1.5 at Houston.
I love a minute teaser. 1.5 up. BetMGM has 1.5, so you could take that 1.5 through 3, through 7, up to 7.5. I think it's a very good teaser, along with a total that has come down. Total was 43.5. Now we're 41.5. Total coming down. You know what you're going to get from San Francisco. They're going to run the football. They're going to get Kittle involved. It's not a sexy team, but they keep finding ways to win, and I just do not trust this Texans offense. I don't trust them one bit.
Another dog that was bet this week, New Orleans, going up against Tampa Bay and all those injuries with Baker and the boys in Tampa. More on that coming up in a bit. Joe O, Sammy P. On the other side, let's head north to Minnesota. Talk to our guy, Paul Charchian, about this Thursday night football matchup and the rest of the week in fantasy football. You've got Bet Sweats, the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready.
maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.